You are listening to Keep It Real with Terry and Sonny. And today we can continue on our theme on Jesus' birthday, okay? And so today I'll be talking about the three wise men. Mm. And that was my title, but I changed it, okay? The title is going to be Visitors from the East, okay?
Come on.
All right? And this is not really the study, but really in Matthew 2:1-12, that's where it talks about Jesus' birthday and the wise men and all that. In fact, that's the only place in the Bible they talk about the wise men.
Right.
And they don't say three wise men; they only say wise men. Okay, so we know it was more than one because it would only have been one. They would have said wise man.
Right.
So we know it was wise men. Meaning more than one. So, but I think what happened down all these years is that since we're given three gifts,
right,
people kind of just put the word three with it, and right, it kind of stuck. Okay,
right. All right.
So anyway, so I figure I'm not gonna call it that. I'm just gonna call it visitors from the East because they came from the East,
right,
like 800, 900 miles they had to travel to get to Bethlehem. Okay, and that is a long ways when you either ride on a horse or maybe a camel. And that, right, you know, so it's not that you're going to say, I'm going to go visit, like, you know what I mean? You had to really want to go, you know?
Right.
Because they put out all kind of danger, especially at that time, you had all kind of danger, you know? So the title is going to be Visitors from the East. And our text is going to come from Matthew 2:1-12. And before I read it, do you want to kind of share something?
Yeah, like you're saying about the dangers, you know, a lot, and they was carrying, it was believed that they were wealthy men, so, and they were carrying gifts to give to, and those gifts were expensive gifts,
right,
and like you said, they didn't have looting and pirating and all, right, those things in that time,
yeah.
So like you said, it wasn't just, and they had, and not just that, but they had a far journey,
right,
so they had to prepare stuff,
yeah,
to bring on that journey, so,
right,
you know, it would seem to me that, you know, God was definitely with them.
Yeah, now you say that, it was coming to me, practical stuff's coming to me, that they had to have horses or camels, because if they, right, had all that stuff that was so valuable, you know, they couldn't all put it on themselves or one horse. They had to have a pack horse or,
right,
a mule or a donkey or camels or whatever they used,
right,
you know, in such a long journey.
Right, just the provisions.
Yeah, the provision, water
for them
food,
to drink and eat,
you know,
and everything else.
Things
and
like
they
that.
Probably had servants, you know, because they,
yeah,
were
probably,
they winking
probably
with them,
yeah,
you know, because if you're those kind, if it was wise men,
right,
wisdom would cry out that,
that's,
you know,
right,
what I'm saying?
That's right. Okay, so our texts or verses are where they talk about the visitors from the East is in Matthew 2:1-12. And I'm going to read it. Matthew 2:1-12. Okay. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that same time, wise men from the East arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw the star as it arose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, and was everyone else in Jerusalem was. Okay, he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religion law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" And in Bethlehem in Judea, they said, "For this is what the prophets wrote." And it says, "And O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are one least among the ruling cities of Judea. It says, "For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for all people Israel." Then Herod called a private meeting with the wise men. See, the first meeting was with the priests and the teachers of that time, you know, and told them the prophecy. And now he has a meeting with the wise men, okay? And it don't say threes, it says wise. It says wise men. And he says, I lost my place, y'all. I'm going to start it back with 7. He recalled for a private meeting with the three wise men, the wise men. And he learned from them the time when the star will appear. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so I can go worship him too." Okay. After the interview, the wise men went their way. And the star then they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. Went ahead of them and stopped over in a place where the child was. This is a key verse right here. It says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened up the treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to them to leave, they returned to their own country another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return back to Herod. All right?
Wow. You know, there's something that stands out to me big time in that. Actually, two things, but one thing really big is the people that were supposed to know the prophecy knew the prophecy, but they didn't even actually see it know it was happening.
Right.
And the people that wasn't even part of the prophecy was the one that caught the prophecy.
Amen.
You know, because you stop and think about it. The wise men, they were from the east. They wasn't they weren't Jews. Mm-hmm. They were from the east. But they knew what they seen what God was doing. And I stopped and think about that. Okay, they seen what God was doing, mm-hmm. and they wasn't even a Jew. But then the people that should have knew what God was doing, because all the scriptures were laid out to them, didn't even know what was going on. They knew prophecy, but they didn't even know it. And I stopped and think about that in my life. How many times that happened to me? You know what I'm saying? Where something I should know better to do or not to do, I'm not doing. And God has to bring other people in from around me to kind of direct me to my path. You know what I mean? Because God uses other people in your life. So a lot of time when people come to give us advice and everything, mm-hmm. we need to not be in a position where we think we know better.
That's right.
Because sometimes that's how God works. And we can see clearly right here. That's how God worked. Yeah. He brought somebody that wasn't even part of the tribe, and he brought them in to kind of direct them to what God was doing.
Right. Yeah, so again, it never said three in the scriptures.
Right.
It said wise men. Okay, some people think they had four. It could have been more. It's not really known how many they had. Okay, but you had more than one. Okay, and then the thing was they came to seek out Jesus. Right.
Right.
Because from a prophecy.
Right.
And this is part of the prophecy. The prophecy that they're talking about is in Isaiah 9, that whole chapter, or at least up to the seven verse, okay? That's where they talk about the prophecy. But I want to bring up one scripture that they really stood on, these wise men. And it's Isaiah 9, 6, okay? It says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on its shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counsel, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And of course, they're talking about Jesus, you know?
Right. And, you know, I wanted to catch on something now before we move too far down the line on the whole star thing. Because it said, you know, by listening to reading the words and listening to the scripture and listening to what it says, is I don't actually think it was an actual star.
No.
Because it said the star moved and then the star stopped. You know, so you stop and think about that. It moved, then it stopped. Right. And then then King Herod wanted to know when the star appeared.
Right.
So I think what it was, I think it was an angel that was God in their way. And because an angel can, and you say, well, how can an angel be considered a star? Well, the Bible calls Lucifer the bright and morning star.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So an angel was showed himself to them, just like the angel showed himself to Mary, just like the angel showed himself to John's father. Showed himself to him. He showed himself to different people, and he made known what God was planning doing. And so they seen, but they didn't. They seen it as it looked like a star because it was bright and glorious, you know, and everything. But and it was moving in front of them, and they was following. And then when it stopped, and then that was the thing. And right after that, not long after that, Jesus was born, and all the stars or angels appeared and made the declaration of who Jesus was. And you know, and it doesn't sound like it's important. But it is the reason why I say it, it sounds so it is important because a lot of time in our day and age we tend to contextualize.
Right, right.
Well, every time we see something, mm-hmm. oh, well this the two planets are coming along. That doesn't mean Jesus is coming back and everything. Not necessarily, because we don't know what exactly what happened in that time. Nobody was there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so right. We don't know exactly what happened. Right. So we can't really contextualize. Take the events of today. And try to explain the events of the past always, because God doesn't do things always the same way all the time. Sometimes He does things differently
right,
and everything.
Right.
So and nobody was really there. So that's the reason why I think it's important is to leave the opportunities open because we don't really know exactly what it was.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean? We just
right.
know it was a star, but it was kind of funny that it kind of caught me that it moved
right. yeah.
and then it stopped. And then he wanted to know when the star appeared.
Right, right.
And a king has many, many sort of things. He probably would know all that things, you know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. he had many advisors. But he didn't know.
No.
Because he couldn't see it.
Couldn't see it.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, I mean, it had to, I think it said star, so I guess it was a star.
Right.
But it was a different kind of star. I mean, because like you said, it did a regular star or a comet or something, it's going to, you can see it move.
Right.
To hit somewhere or go away or it passes us or whatever.
Right. As he makes the earth,
but
makes the earth
stayed
keep moving.
Still and point exactly still. Where the child will be born.
Exactly. And another thing is, a lot of these people that work with the king were astrologers.
Right, exactly.
Soothsayers.
They
studied all that stuff. They was into that was the thing they were into because mm-hmm. that's how the divination whole thing works and
right,
everything
right.
of the stars.
Right.
So if there would have been a something there, they would have been one of the first ones to know about it. And the reason why they was the first one to know about it because I don't think they could see it.
Right.
I don't think from where they was, they wasn't able to get it
right.
because they didn't know even know when it appeared. So right. I think what it is, I think it was an angel guiding their way to Jesus.
Yeah, because it was cause definitely it was something special.
Exactly.
It guided the wise men to that point. And that was, I mean,
exactly.
That's what God was going to use. I'm going to use this. And they said star, so I'm going to call it a star. But God used it.
Right.
Especially for them to be guided.
Right.
Because they didn't know where
exactly
it was. And the star only really got into a certain point.
It only got into that point and it stopped.
And it stopped. And then they had to go, you know, they had to go around and ask people or they went, you know.
Exactly.
And
you know, and that goes to show, you know, that's one thing that goes to show us in our lives how God, when we get off course, God always puts people in our place
right.
that's going to lead us to where He wants us to be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just like He did with them.
Right. So even though the scripture I just read, that's the only place it talks about the wise men, okay?
Right.
And that was very important. The wise men were very important part of leading up to the,
right.
the baby being born. And the star is important. Okay?
Right.
So,
yeah, because they don't want actually, if you look at it, they don't want to kind of all got the people starting to focus on Jesus.
Right.
Because
right.
before that, I don't think really nobody
right.
even
right.
got too much to do with it.
And I did a study, and plus I Google a lot about the wise men, and some even say that they were kings. There were three kings too,
right?
You know, but we all knew they knew they were wise, and this is my I got five little areas I want to touch on about the wise men. The first one is they read and believed God's word,
exactly. whatever
the scripture was at that time. The word of God, they read
yep.
it. Even though they lived far east, they still read it. Okay,
right.
And they believed it, okay, all right, and they had stuff. They had the prophecies for sure. I mean, they had to have something written from Genesis under that time, and then they had a lot of prophecy, so they knew it and they studied it, okay, and that again, that's in it talks some about that in Isaiah 9:6 or that whole chapter, beginning of that chapter, but I just want to bring that out. They read and believe the word of God at that time.
Right, right. Actually, in Proverbs, it said, if you read these scriptures, you will be considered wise. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? Stop and think about this. One thing is, you know, if the Bible calls you wise,
mm-hmm.
you're wise.
Yeah.
Because the only other person they called wise was Solomon. You know what I'm saying? So you're a wise. You're not just a, you're not just for lack of a better term. They're really wise guys. Right. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Because if the Bible calls you wise, you're smart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because again, when I was studying all this, I found a lot of times when somebody is really wise, it's because they studied at the word at that time.
Exactly. They know the word of God.
Wise. But they also, a lot of them were kings.
Exactly.
So they sit in this high place and they study all this, you know?
Right.
And they get and they believe it. Okay. And then it's funny how we become born again. We become kings too.
Exactly. You know? We are kings, right?
So I just thought that was interesting.
And we can become wise too if we do what the word says. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, like I was talking about it in an earlier lesson. I was talking about how that person, you know, started reading Proverbs and everything, just got smarter and smarter and smarter. You know, and God gives us instruction and God gives us wisdom on what to do and how to do things. And not only that, but I think another person, they don't really call him a wise person. Right. But was Joseph?
Yeah.
Because Joseph was pretty wise. God gave him wisdom. With Mary, what happened with the situation with Mary? He didn't put Mary away, you know, because he listened to the word of the Lord.
Then
God told him to leave. And you probably talk, I don't want to get ahead of you, but he did that. That was a lot of wisdom. There was a lot of wisdom in that, you know, just listening to what God says and doing what God said, that God will consider you wise, because God gives a whole book full of wisdom.
That's right. So that first area we just talked about, these wise men, they read and believed God's word, okay? Now, from that, the next area I want to touch in is that they seek Jesus. They went out to find Jesus because of the word of God, and they believed the prophecies and all that. Hey, I want to go find this person, you know?
That's awesome.
And they know that he was going to be born. They wanted to be there, you know, they wanted to be somewhere around that time, you know, that he's going to be born, you know? So that's the other area, you know?
Right.
They seek Jesus. That time they seeked him, he was being born. It was the baby Jesus.
There was two other people that seeked Jesus. It was Anna and Simeon. Because Simeon said that he didn't want to die until his eyes seen his deliverer.
Right.
And when Jesus was baptized, later on down the line, when Jesus was baptized, Simeon holds the baby, he prophesies over Mary, he prophesies over Jesus and everything. And Anna, and the thing about Anna, the Bible says that she was in the temple daily, worshiping and praying and fasting.
That tells you a lot right there.
You know what I'm saying? And because she was in the position, she positioned herself, Simeon was seeking after a promise.
Right.
And God answered his promise. But Anna wasn't. Anna was fasting and praying and spending time in the Word. And because she was fasting and praying and spending time in God's presence, she got to experience God's greatest gift.
Right.
You know what I mean? And she, because of that, she was there when Jesus was baptized. And that goes to show us in our life, if we're in God's word, we're in God's presence, we're spending time doing, when God does something, because the word says, God will do nothing unless he reveal it to his prophets first.
Yes.
And that caught me off guard. Well, the reason why things catch you off guard is because you wasn't spending the time in the word and being a wise man, you say.
So if we do what Anna did, in other words, she had the right heart.
She had the right heart.
If we got the right heart and we do that.
Right.
There's no limit to what God could do.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
That's a good point.
You can not be part of the plan, but you can be part of the plan. You can get in on the glory.
Say that again.
You know what I'm saying? You can be part of the plan. Not be part of the plan, but you can be part of the plan. You know what I'm saying?
I like that. Okay.
Because she wasn't really in on it, but she got in on it. You know what I'm saying?
Little nuggets there, man. You need to collect those little nuggets out there. You know? You get a lot of little nuggets, and you get a big old pile of them. You're not much richer.
That's what the Word of God does. It makes us richer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just reading it, you know what I'm saying? Right. And spending time in God's presence and everything, you'll get a lot of nuggets.
Right. And since they believed the Word of that time, and they went out there to seek Jesus, you know, they had my other era I want to touch on is that they recognized the worth of Jesus. Even
though
a baby being born, it's a baby, but the worth. They realized the worth. He was so worthy who he was, all from the prophecies and everything they studied. They were going to bring him gifts and presents.
That's a good thing.
And they had to go 800 to 900 miles.
Exactly.
you know?
And you know, another thing is, they didn't want to go before the king. And you know, that's a custom that we can't really understand these days because we don't do that. But before at the time is, you wouldn't go before somebody in a high position and royalty or whatever without bringing them a gift.
Right.
If you didn't bring them a gift,
you might survive that day.
You might get beheaded. You know what I'm saying? You always bought a gift before.
Your head's gonna be hanging.
And you know, a lot of that's in Proverbs again. It said a gift in the bosom prefers judgment. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it kind of softens people's heart. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think what happened is they knew that. And they knew they were going before the highest king.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, the best gifts you could have gave is frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Those were the most precious gifts that they had at the time. You know what I mean? In our flesh, we can only give so much to God. What can we give to God? The man that has everything. God already has everything. He already owns everything. Mm-hmm. But you see, now, as a Christian, we can give ourselves.
That's it. That's right.
That's the most precious gift we can give.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? God. And when we give that, then God is pleased, just like God was pleased with the gifts that he gave to them. You know, because they made God had to be pleased for it to make the Bible.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think he was very happy.
I'm just going to make a funny here because I'm just joking here. It's not. Don't say it's in the Bible and don't take it. Don't be offense. But, you know, Jesus was in the manger, you know, just playing like a baby, you know. And they bring all these expensive gifts. And Jesus said, "Why didn't you bring me a donkey I could ride? Something I could play with, you know?" That's a joke now. Well, give me something to play with, you know? Oh, yeah, but that's not in the Bible. I just said that. I'm just joking. Okay. And the next little area I want to touch is that when they found him and went through all that trouble and hassle and everything to find him, and they knew Christ was at great value, And some people say these were kings too. Now, not just wise, but the kings. They got down and they humbled God. They fell down and they humbled the baby Jesus. Now, the baby Jesus was this little baby, it was born and put in a manger.
Yeah.
Why would these kings or these wise men? Why would they worship a baby? You know, because they knew more than most people knew at that time because they were wise, and they knew the prophecy, and they really believed it. So he said, "We're going to worship this because he's going to grow up to be something mighty, you know."
Well, and not only that, another thing too is he's God.
Yes. Well,
so,
yes.
Yeah, he's got all the glory and the power and the king of his divination. You know, I can't say the word right, of his godliness. And so he is God, you know, and especially at the time being born. I imagine, I'm just going out on a limb. This, like Terry said, it doesn't say this in the Bible, but I'm imagining when Jesus was born, God was there. And I mean, not just in a partial way, but in a tangible way. And I'm imagining that the Holy Spirit was there. In a tangible way.
It was special, not only to us, but I imagine it was special to God and
the Holy Spirit.
See, that's the question that, and it might say somewhere in the Bible, I hadn't studied or came across it, but, you know, it could have just, been a practical birth and all that, this and that, you know, and then everybody went on, you know, but they knew it was special, and they knew it was God, and went on. But that could have been something really, because it was an event.
It wasn't the event.
One event of Christ's life, and we already taught on that. And the very first one was his birth. So that had to be a big thing.
I think it was a big thing too, because you stop and think about it. He got
just in that little area,
tens of thousands of angels hollering, "Hallelujah, hallelujah! The king is born."
Yeah.
You know, God when Jesus was born, God made a big thing out of it. He wanted everybody to know. All the shepherds and all that were around.
It's not hard to believe it. Look what he did to open the Red Sea.
Exactly.
You know? That had to, imagine. Well, I don't really want. I'm glad I'm here now. I don't think I would want to be there. But imagine this: seeing your enemies coming to kill you, and all of a sudden the Red Sea open. It looked impossible. Okay, you saw the Red Sea and you saw your enemy coming. Well, I must thought we're all dead until Moses lift his staff and God opened that Red Sea. That must have been something to watch.
Oh yeah.
Even after that they started complaining and everything. But at that moment, that had to be something to see God open that Red Sea.
And you know what? I think that dwarfs the birth of Jesus. That's just small compared to what God did for Jesus.
That's the point
birth.
I made. If that was so, if you had been there
and saw
that.
That was a little thing, right.
You know, just think the birth. I think at least at that area or in that city or that little area, it had to be, you had to,
I mean,
the presence of God.
I think God was. I know the angels were there.
Yeah,
because it said the angels were there, and they were declaring the word of God.
It makes you wonder. I wonder if somebody they don't say because I saw the report what you were talking about the people that were there and everything. Somebody would just walked on the scene and just went in and saw that. Who knows? They could have felt the presence of God and fell down.
I think so.
You know what I'm saying? Just for that whatever long that was. I didn't have, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, to me, you know, we should seek revival in our churches, but I think that was a type of revival. I mean,
Jesus was born.
You know, and that's why we should celebrate his birthday. And not just a little bit, a whole day long, and you should be teaching your kids and all that. It's gotta be big. It should be something big every day we celebrate.
Exactly.
It's important. It's important to mankind that he came.
Exactly.
He was born.
Exactly.
So we should be excited, and we should just go out there, and we should be telling. If you say, "Well, I'm not an evangelist. I can't talk to people." This is one day that you tell a Christmas story and let it go out.
And people's hearts are open to that. You know what I'm saying? Because they're celebrating Christmas.
One day you could witness. That's
exactly.
One day you could share.
You can tell them why what you do. You know what Christmas is really about.
Yes.
And you know what? There's nobody in the world that can research Christmas and not find out about Jesus. Because that's the day, it's a holiday and it's set up for Jesus, you know what I'm saying? And all over the world, the whole world celebrates Christmas.
Right.
That's not a holiday, that's not a Louisiana holiday,
no.
That's not a Texas holiday, that's not a United States holiday, that's a world holiday.
That's right.
And all the world celebrates that day.
It was just us talking and trying to kind of imagine if we were there, how it would be. I'm getting all excited.
Exactly.
I'm getting goosebumps, man. I'm getting all excited. You know, the wise men said there was great joy came over them.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Oh, you could see why. You know,
witness that birth. They seen what was born.
Yes.
And then they had God's presence there.
Yes.
They had the Holy Spirit there.
Yes.
They had the angels there. Everything of heaven was rejoicing at
that
time. Because you know why? They were rejoicing for us.
Yeah.
Because Jesus was born to save us.
True.
And that was the biggest thing of it all.
Right. And you know, so they knew his value and they knew everything we just finished. You finished this saying this. And then so they humbled. They humbled themselves and they worshiped him.
Exactly.
You know, because that's how much they really believed that and what the word said. And they saw the baby and they believed it. And the last thing I want on that area was that they obeyed God and rather than man.
Come on.
Because when God revealed to him that, hey, take another route, because Herod, you know, he wants to come to the store, I'm going to kill him. They were obedient.
Exactly.
They knew everything before, all of the areas I touched, they knew. Well, they ain't going to go back to Herod and tell him where he's at so he could kill him.
Right.
Because they worshiped. They just finished worshiping him and they knew who he was. So,
exactly,
so
yeah. Why would they do that?
Why would they do that? They're wise. So they went the other way and they snuck out of town, whatever. They went the other way and... You know, and so you wouldn't have to tell them.
Obeying God's word, it makes you wise, and not just God's written word, but God's the word that God reveals to your heart. You know, a lot of times, you be getting situations where things are not always clear in the Bible what to do.
Right, right.
You know, but there are things that God tells us in our heart that we should be listening to and obeying what he gives to our heart.
Amen.
But sometimes God's going to tell you to do something. And it might not be black and white in the Bible, but you know God's telling you, you need to follow that, just like they did with that situation. Because no matter what, God would have took care of Jesus.
Right.
You know, because God's not gonna let his plan get messed up. You know what I'm saying?
No, he
had a plan. You know, but they would have missed out on the opportunity to be blessed if they would have disobeyed. But because they were wise, I don't think that was even a choice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because they had enough wisdom to do all that, and I don't think they would have. I don't think they would have ended up at the beginning. That
would
make sense. You know what I'm saying?
It would.
But the point about it is, they had an opportunity to be even more blessed on top of what they were already blessed to follow the word of God and everything. And that's how it is in our lives. You know, God, as we grow, and God moves and gives, keeps. Now, God starts off speaking to you small. And if you listen, he speaks to you more. You listen, he speaks to you more. Listen, he speaks to you more. And as you more listen, more he speaks to you. And it was the same thing with them. I imagine God been speaking to them, the wise men, for a long time before that they ever went on the journey for Jesus. Because you don't get up in one day and just say, I'm going to go on a journey 300 miles and let's see what I'm going to see.
Right.
That isn't how it happens. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not practical, because it doesn't happen that these days, and it probably didn't happen those days.
Right.
God was already speaking to them, getting themselves in a position, moving in their hearts, and getting them ready to accept what the glory was, just like with Simeon and Anna. They had already positioned themselves for God to be able to use them from the time they was young, and to get in God's presence and get in His glory and to experience all that God has for us.
Amen. Okay, and also while I was studying this, I kind of saw the different, related to different things. Take somebody that's not saved, you know, before they accept Christ, and even while they're accepting Christ, right split seconds they're getting saved. Take these four areas. I mean, how somebody get saved? They got to hear the good news. They got to hear the gospel. Come on, okay. And like I said, they either got to read it or somebody's got to tell them. And then by that, they it starts with hope, and then eventually they want to believe in it. Okay, all right. But you got that's how you know. So that's a very important step. Somebody's got to hear the good news. Okay, and then when they start to believe and accept it, then the process of getting saved. The other ones, they got to seek Jesus. You know, you got to find Jesus where He's at. You know, I mean, you got to seek Jesus.
Your heart's got to be right.
Heart's got to be right. In other words, and that's a process. That also helps when somebody preaches the gospel.
Exactly.
It's not so important that the church preaches the gospel, that we go and witness every day or whenever we can. And that's why we should really celebrate with this day, Christmas. I'll say Christmas, but Jesus' birthday really day was. Because people are seeking things. They just don't realize they need Jesus, okay?
They need Jesus, right.
So when they find out, usually they'll seek Him.
Right. You know, one thing you said about find Jesus where I at that really caught me, because at that time He was in the stable. People weren't expecting Jesus to be there.
Yeah.
At other times, Jesus was in the temple. That's where you think a king would be, a great man of God would be. But another time, Jesus was on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think the man of God would be on the cross.
Right,
Jesus was never always where he was where you think he was supposed to be at.
Right.
But you got to seek Him, like you say, you got to seek Him where is He at.
Right.
Because and look, you got to see what He's doing, and then we line up with what He's doing.
Amen.
We don't line up what we think we should be. We think He should be doing, but we got to line up with what He is doing.
Mm-hmm. And there are areas that you have to, you got to recognize that Christ got value.
Right.
And when you find that out, and you come into salvation, you're going to have salvation. You're going to get saved, born again. Also, when that happens, you're going to humble yourself before Him,
Right.
You're going to take yourself off the heart, your throne on the heart. You're going to take yourself off and you're going to put Christ there,
Right.
But you got to humble yourself and you got to worship Him. Okay. And the last one is, you're going to start being God and not man.
Right.
Okay. Now let's take it where somebody got saved, like me and you. We can still apply these things. I did, even if we went through all these, we can still apply ourselves that. As we keep reading and studying the Bible, we just get more into it, and we believe it more, and we get our faith grows, and everything that comes with reading and studying the Word,
Right.
It's just a continuous thing. We grow, and we just get all these nuggets, and we learn all this revelation. You know what I'm saying? So we constantly, from the time you get born again to the time you die, you should be doing that. You should be reading and studying God's Word, okay? The second one is that by doing all that, we're going to recognize God. We're going to more and more recognize Christ's value,
Right, that's for sure.
And then we should be humbling Him and worshiping Him all the time, The other one is that we need to obey God and not man. Now, there'll be times we'll be tempted, but it's always better to obey God, not man.
Exactly.
Not the world. Not the world, because the world's always trying to come at you and say, do this,
We definitely should follow the word of God and do what it says to do and everything. And anything that goes contradictory to the word of God,
And
then you shouldn't put it above it, you know what I mean? And, but God always has and makes a way for us.
Mm-hmm.
And because he loves us, and he's always going to try to reach us where we're at.
True.
And everything. And like Terry said, right now is a time where everybody's out there, and they're celebrating a holiday that most of them don't even know why they celebrate it.
Right.
They don't know the true meaning behind it. They don't know what's going on behind it and everything. And now is the perfect opportunity to show them what they're actually celebrating.
Right, right.
Show them what's behind the day that you're celebrating. Why do people give gifts? Why do people give gifts? Because we gave gifts right here with the three wise men.
Right.
That's where the first gift giving started at, right there and everything.
Yep.
And in that, you know, we gotta remember that's the true reason for the holiday season. It was Jesus.
And I got a few more little things I want to end, but while we celebrate his birthday, Jesus' birthday, okay? I got a couple little statements here. It says, wise people acknowledge that they need a savior. They need a savior, and they seek to find him, okay? And a fool people, or somebody's a fool, like Hero the Great, rejects his Jesus and even seeks to destroy him. You know? That's foolish people, okay? All right? And when we seek God with our whole heart, we will find him. He is not hiding from us, but wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. And it all starts when Jesus was born. That's how we get that intimate relationship with God. It starts with him.
Right.
On that day he was born, that's where it starts.
That's where everything started, right? That's for sure. And the truth of it is, that's when our relationship starts, when we're reborn.
Right, right.
When we're reborn, we start our, just like Jesus started his ministry when he was born, and we start our ministry when we're reborn.
Mm-hmm.
And each and every person has the choice to be able to do that, to find Jesus where he is, and to come to get to know the loving grace of him. And that's an easy thing to do. You just gotta accept him. You know, but right now I'm kind of throwing around my mind, what is the Lord trying to say? And I think what it is that right now the world is open to seeing. They're experiencing Christmas, but a lot of them don't know what Christmas is really about.
Right, right.
They don't know the true meaning of Christmas. They don't know what Christmas is really about. And this is what Christmas is about, this story right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the story, you know, of Christmas. This is when it all began. This is the day that the Savior was born.
Right.
And this is the true Christmas story. And that's what we need to be telling Jesus. Telling people about.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling people about the Christmas story. Telling them the day that Christ was born to die for the sins of the world. And that's what we're celebrating right now. So if you have loved ones and family and friends, you know what I'm saying, that celebrating holidays and everything, and you know, and you're meeting up with them and talking to them around the tables and while you're eating dinner and everything, and it's a good opportunity to bring in casual conversation. You know what they're celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wouldn't start an argument over it.
But if
their hearts, well, you kind of feel around, see if their hearts are open to it.
I mean, you know, like you sit down and as a Christian should pray over their food.
Well, right.
You could start with something like that, but then you add, that day because it is his birthday.
Exactly.
And you add a little bit of that.
Yeah. I've been to people's houses for Christmas. And these people that was unsaved people, and they still want to pray for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason or other, that's what they want to do because the Holy Spirit of God is heavy on the earth in that day.
Well, I think a lot of people, the spirit of Christmas is, I think they feel it, that it's love and it's giving, okay?
Right.
And also receiving, but you feel that, but they might not know maybe the true meaning of it, but at least they feel that. And that's what's coming from that. They just need to maybe know why, okay. Why everybody this time of year? It's a great time to forgive people. It's
right.
A great time to love people. It's a great time to give gifts. You know.
Exactly. So let us pray with you, and we're gonna just believe in God with you. Father God, I pray right now during this holiday season, Lord God, that you would open up opportunities for them to be able to witness to people and tell them about the great story, the story of Jesus' birth.
Yes.
And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. So if y'all enjoy these messages, we ask that you like and subscribe to them, and also ask that you share them. That helps us to get the words out. And we just want to thank you once again for coming this week, and we're blessed to be in your home each and every week. So in Jesus' name, y'all be blessed. Amen.
Amen.